Well, you know, like I said, I'm always honored when Pastor asked me to share. And he said, do like a pre-Christmas word. So I'm like, well, how far back do I go? So we're going to start in Genesis 1. No, just kidding. But you know, it's an exciting time. And I just want to look at a couple things quickly about, because I was thinking about, you know, that sometimes we focus on certain things and sometimes we kind of think we get into a tradition almost, where like, you know, when the Messiah came, when Jesus came the first time, nobody really expected it. They weren't expecting him to come that way. And sometimes we can be like that, like, what's God going to do? Why is he going to do it that way? You know, like Naaman the prophet, when they said, go dip in the river 7 times. And he said, well, I should go to the river in my own city and do this. And one of the maidens said, what do you got to lose? Basically, go and do it. So sometimes we got to realize that God's going to move sometimes and we won't always understand it. Amen? But I want to look at the fact that, I'm going to look at Luke 1, because, you know, if you look at your Bible, and from Malachi to Matthew, 400 to 450 years, God didn't speak to his people. There was silence. And then he speaks. One of the first recorded times that he speaks is in Luke 1, he's speaking to Zacharias. And I love the fact that he says, fear not. God spoke to him and said, fear not. And you know, in Luke 1, 12 to 15, it says, when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name John, and you shall help joyness and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even before his mother's womb. He shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers and to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, where shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And so I am sent to speak to you and show these things and these glad tidings. So behold, now you're going to be mute. You're going to be not talking anymore because you should know better, Zacharias. You're a high priest. You should know better than to question God. Sometimes we're like that. We become double-minded. We become unstable. Well, I don't know if God wants me to do this. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do that. We get a word from God. Pastor, pray for me. You might get a word from God. Then you go in your car. I don't know if I can do that. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Get a word from God. Hey, just be quiet. Because you realize that he's the high priest. He's in there. He's actually ministering in the Holy of Holies. This is where he was. He was in the inner sanctum ministering. And the angel showed up, speaks to him. And like I say, being a high priest, he knew the word. He knew the word of God. And it's kind of interesting because there's 6 barren women mentioned in the Bible. 3 of the 4 matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel in Genesis. Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel. The wife of Manoah, which is the mother of Samson. And the Shunammite, which Elijah went and saw. These were 6 women barren in the Bible. So Zacharias should have known, who is God? Who do you say that I am? Right? Your wife's going to be Elizabeth. He could have said, okay, sounds good. Sometimes, though, you know, we could get a word even from like an angel, and we still question. We still like, oh, what's going to happen? So, you know, it says the angel made him mute. And then we should have had understanding. And then the next one is Luke 1. Then I want to get to a third one that we're going to look at for a few minutes. And this is when Luke 1, 28, 31. Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, greetings, fair woman. The Lord is with you. It says that she was confused and disturbed. So Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. And he said, don't be afraid. Fear not, one version says. God says that to us a lot, eh? Don't fear. Fear not. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive, give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. You know, in verse 38, it says, Mary said a great thing. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. You know, God, as I said, God gave her a word. And Mary, like, she's a virgin. She goes, I don't know how this, she questioned in the sense that I don't know how this is going to happen because I don't know a man. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Then he speaks to her a little bit more. She accepted it. Okay. Okay, I receive it. Not a problem. And you know, but same thing. God shows up and says, fear not. Now I'm going to look at Joseph just for a second, where it says Matthew 1:20. It says, because Joseph is the one that was betrothed to Mary. So obviously at this point, Mary has told him, okay, angel showed up. I'm pregnant. He's like, imagine if you were Joseph. What? I'm pregnant. But you said, oh, I am. I'm still a virgin. I'm pregnant. So it says Joseph was pondering these things, which as a man who wouldn't ponder these things, you know, it's like, you know. But it says, well, he thought on these things. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. It was amazing. All these questions, same thing. God shows up, angel shows up, gives Joseph a word. Fear not. Everything she told you is true. Okay. Joseph's like, okay, sounds good. Ready to go. But you know, there's a couple of things because of this time of year that we're going to get into a few things. But I think it's exciting that sometimes when God tells us to do things, especially this time of year where it's really busy, we have a lot going on. There's a lot of stress, they say, this time of year. And so like I say, we're just going to look at a few things as we go. And it's challenging being this time of year when you go through things. But let's go look at a couple of things that Joseph could have looked at. And one of them is the fear of perception. Or what do we look at? What will people think? Here it is. Because the Bible said he was thinking about putting her away. He says he was a good man, so he was going to put her away quietly. Not publicly. He was going to quietly. I want my dowry back. Here you go, back to your parents. Right? He was going to put her away quietly. But you know, what's exciting is that it says there's fear of perception. What are people going to think? Imagine that. You got a word from God. Mary's got a word from God. But for 9 months, right? But didn't you guys get married 4 months ago? Okay, this is a culture not like today. This is a culture where Mary could have been stoned. This is a culture that, you know, you go to the Middle East, like even now, right? Yeah, we're getting married tomorrow. Okay, you know. And it's not even mine. What? You know, you ever wonder what Joseph went through? Even though it says that he was, there's still thought. Sometimes we can get settled in what God says to us, and we can still start to, okay, I go back to the word. What did God say in his word? What did God, I know Joseph didn't have that, but he had a word. Amen? So sometimes there's a fair perception of what will people think? It's like Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Then in Genesis 1, sometimes it's not just who do we say God is. I love this part where in Genesis 1:26. No, let's try 2:26. I wrote it down wrong. Oh, I didn't write it down at all. Anyway, in Genesis, I could find it, but there's a word where it says Adam and Eve partook of the fruit. God shows up looking for him. He says, where are you? Not that God lost him. It's, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? And Adam says, we are naked. And God says, who told you that? Did you partake of the tree? The amazing thing is, who told you that you could not do what God told you to do? Who told Pastor that he couldn't build a church in Thunder Bay? Who told you you couldn't move to this city and thrive? Who told you that no matter what you've done in your life, you cannot walk into the things of God? Who told you you can't do everything God's told you to do? There's a perception that sometimes we get to the point where God says, when we moved up here, you know, like I said, we're moving up here, came up here, I had everybody, almost everybody, not people here, but people that I knew, there's no jobs in Thunder Bay. No jobs in Thunder Bay. Who told you you're going to be able to go to Thunder Bay and prosper? God did. God told me. That's all I need. Doesn't matter what people think. Really, it doesn't matter what man. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Who told you you can't start a Bible college in Northern Ontario? Who told you? Nobody. God told Pastor Steve, Pastor Ken, we're going to do this. Okay. Who told you you can't have a television ministry out of Thunder Bay? Who told you that? Nobody. Right? We got to get to the point that when God tells us to do something, that we're going to. When I met Kathy, there was a perception that people had about me. And people told her, don't marry that man. Being honest, people told her. Because they didn't know the real me. They knew the old me. They knew the old man. And people told her, you shouldn't marry him. People in her church. If you're watching now, 27 and a half years, baby. Still going strong. And not just to prove a point to them, but the fact is they were looking at the old man. You know who told her to marry me? God did. God had to tell her, but she had a word because there was a perception about me that people had. And it might have been, some of it might have been untruth. Not all of it, but some of it was. Some of it was just mistakes. But who told you you can't start a business and do crafts or do whatever you, who told you you can't go back to school? Who told you that you can't do? If God's told you to do something, get into what the word says, amen? You are gifted. God had said to Joseph, doesn't matter about what people think. I'm with you. Go and do it. Look after her. You are going to, what a responsibility to be adoptive parent or to be a foster parent. What a responsibility to have that, not just a child, but that child, that one. You know, if God told me I'm going to give you my son, I'd be like, what? That's kind of strange, you know? So it's exciting that sometimes we have to get rid of that fear of perception. We have to get into what the word says. And I know that I gave the ushers on the way out because in Colossians, I'm going to go to Colossians 1:26 for a second. Because I know Pastor talked on these, mentioned these in hymns the last couple times. And just one. There's lots of them, like I said, 133. Colossians 1:26. This message was, Colossians 1:20, this message was kept secret centuries and dreams, but now has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles as well. The riches and the glory are for you. For you. All the riches and the glory. All the redemption that they have. All the provision that's in the Word. All, everything that's in the Word is ours. Amen. And if you don't know who you are, if you're not sure who you are, the ushers have these on the way out. Get one. You can have it. Go through it. Find out who you are in Him. Find out your redemptive realities. Find out what God has for you. Find out not your perception of you, but find out what God's perception of you is. Amen. Find out what God thinks about you. Find out what God. It's not just about your salvation. It's not just about being saved and going to heaven. Getting saved, going to heaven, walking on the streets of gold, that's just the starting point. Amen? Who are we in this life that we could walk free, walk in the hope and the calling that God has for us? Who are we when we think back about not who I was, but who I am in Him? Who I am. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not some things, all things. I can do whatever God tells me to do. I can do these things because I have a hope and a calling in me. Everything I need, God's already put within you. Everything you need, God's already put within you. The Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, is within you. It's there. We shall be led by an inner witness, amen. What has God called us to do? I know sometimes I look back and I think, okay, you could do this and I could do this, I could do that. You know, like I was telling the Bible college students a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, I'm happy doing what God's called me to do right now. You know, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't think I'm called to be a pastor. I'm happy doing what I'm doing right now. I'm happy coming here and serving at this church in whatever capacity Pastor and Miss Anita want me to serve. I'm happy doing that. I love doing this. I don't care if I'm doing this or if I'm sweeping the floor. It's ministering at the church, amen? We have to realize that who you are. What has God called you to do? Well, it's cleaning the chairs. So what? Clean the chairs. Ask Jerry, clean the chairs to the best of your ability, amen? Also, it's like there was a fear of provision or lack of. Can I afford to do what God's called me to do? Joseph was okay even before the gifts came. When he went to Bethlehem, he was looking for a hotel. Since he was looking, they were all full. He wasn't broke. He didn't show up there. Do you have a piece of hay for me to lay on? He didn't. He got there. It says there was no room. They were full because that time of year. He went there expecting to pay. He went there with a donkey. He wasn't a poor, broke man, even before the wise men showed up, right? It says that there's a little bit of different provision looking after your wife and all of a sudden saying, okay, I'm going to pack you up and send you to Egypt now. There's a little bit, I'd be a little bit more finances. God, okay, I got it. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. I got it. It's all looked after, right? But Joseph wasn't a broke man when he was there. You know, it's like sometimes we have to understand that God has given us some provision. I remember when I first started working at the car plant down south, and I thought, I'm going to take my mom for dinner. So we went out. I'm going to take her somewhere nice. And my mom was very frugal in some ways and does one of these at the menu. It's okay, Mom. I got it. Sometimes we are doing this. Have you seen these prices? Have you seen these? Mom, don't look at the bill. Don't. It's okay. I got it. Because I was in a place that it was okay. Sometimes we do that. It's like, let's go treat ourselves. Just go treat yourself. Don't sit there and say, I can never afford to eat at, the Keg or whatever. Well, save up. Don't go to McDonald's for 10 times maybe, right? But look at the perception. Why? Why can you not eat there? Sometimes the biggest problem is, it's not that we don't have the money, but some of the problems are, am I good enough to spend the money on myself? Right? I'm a child of the king. If I want to eat prime, I don't do steak a lot, but if I want to eat prime rib at the Keg, then we'll go and eat prime rib at the keg. Most of the time, though, like most of the guys in this church, my wife cooks very well. I don't need to go to the Keg. Now there's anything wrong with the Keg, right? But you know what I mean? Sometimes it's the fact that, do we really need that? Who cares? Do you want it? Right? What's your perception? I can't drive that kind of car. Why not? I remember when going to church, and like I said, I was making good money down south, single, before I got married, single. And I bought this car. It wasn't that fancy of a car, but I liked it. It was like a year old. I bought it. It was kind of sporty, a little 5-speed. It's quite nice, top of the line for its model. And I remember you show up, and people are like, ooh, that's a nice car. Yeah, but I'm worth it, right? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a brand new Mercedes or if it's a brand new Chevy. You're worth it, right? You don't have to buy a Mercedes. Like, don't go broke doing these things. But at the same time, understand that, especially this time of year, don't go broke trying to spend and buy everything for everybody you know, right? But we have to have a perception of who we are, and we have to realize that God has provided. God, as they say, will give you a vision or provision for your vision. And we are a walking testimony of that. Our perception is that we came here, God had a job for us. Our provision was that we came here and God supplied a job for us. Right? What about now? My seed bag has not changed. Right? Like I said, God is my provider. Your job is not your provider. Because if you lose your job, does that mean your provision's gone? No. God will give you a different seed bag. Right? And that's the thing. The other thing is that we have to have a fear of providence or God's protection. Sometimes it's fear of going alone. I'm looking after this baby. Joseph, I'm looking after this baby. It says the angel spoke to him. He got up and did it. That was it. He got up and did it. Doesn't mean it was easy. Doesn't mean it was, the easiest thing he had to do. But he realized that there is a providence. God had him looked after. Deuteronomy 24 says, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." He goes with you, right? You know, when people say two or three gathered in his name, he's amongst us. Yeah, that's true. But wherever I go, he's also there. Wherever you go, he is there. Amen. You walk into a store, God walks into a store, right? We don't have to wait to gather. There's something is something different about the corporate anointing. But I walk into a situation, or you walk into a situation, God is there. You know, if your neighbors, you know, are doing whatever they're doing, they're having a problem, or they're arguing or whatever it is, or one of their kids is sick, you walk into a situation. God is there. I'm trying not to walk. My wife does cameras, and she says, "You walk too much." So I apologize, Jerry and Varian. I was watching an old video the other day, and this guy was preaching. It was Shambuck, and they had a camera view, and there was a mat. And I think it was for the pastor to stand on. But because it was Shambuck, he does this. So I try and behave myself. Because now I'm a camera operator. It's like, oh, man. Pastor Steve walks a lot. So does Pastor Ken. Pastor most of the time, until he stands over here. But then it's nice. You get a bit of a pause because he stands here a lot. There must be an anointing here. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm trying to stay still. And I walk as I'm explaining that. But anyway, so sometimes we got to realize that he has given us perception of who we are in him. He has given us a protection of who we are. He is with us no matter what. I can do all things. Do you believe that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have to realize that we can do all these things. You know, I like in Isaiah 43, 18, 19, it says, "Remember ye not," okay, I'll wait. It says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in this city. He wants to do a new thing in your home. He wants to do a new thing. And you know how he does it? Through you. That's how he makes a river in the desert. That's how he makes the way straight. He wants to do it, and he does it through us. We are the new thing. We are new creatures, new creations in Christ. We are the new things in this time. We are the ones. You know what it says? That says that, you know, in you know, eschatology per se, I guess, when the church is removed, it says morality is left unchecked. The church right now is what's holding morality in check, immorality in check. It's us. When we pray for the government, we pray for the city, we pray for the mayor, we pray for the prime minister, there is a thing that we get to do these things. We hold things in check. The enemy is hindered because of our prayers. Amen? He's hindered. I might not be able to pray and the person that were there, but I can hinder the enemy in my life, right? It says in Romans that you get to rule and reign in your life. You have the authority in your life. You get to step out and do what God's called you to do. You get to sit there and take authority over the enemy, over your health, over your children, over your marriage, over your family. You do it. Amen? It's like Pastor shared this morning. When somebody invites him and they invite him, then they're expecting it. It's their expectation. So we get to do these things in Christ. Amen? You are the new thing. As of Genesis, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, we are the new thing. We are new creatures, new creations. Something that's never happened before. We get to do it. Amen? We get to walk forth doing these things. You know, it's like... I think it's Bill Winston says, if you understand the law of lift and thrust, you'll never be afraid to fly again. Because the law of lift and thrust overcomes the law of gravity, right? So Romans says, Romans 8:2, the Phillips translation says, "For the new spiritual principle of life in Christ Jesus lifts me out of the old vicious cycle of sin and death." So his law of life in Christ lifts me out of the old law of sin and death and being the old man and being who I used to be. You know, it's amazing because being saved 30 years, we still have to renew our mind. We still get to a temptation. We still get to a point that we want to do this or do that or not do this and not do that. You know, God tells you to do something, you don't do it. It's as much of a sin as if he tells you not to do something and you do it, right? Sin of omission and commission, I believe it is, you know? So we got to realize that the new life in Christ Jesus has lifted us out of the miry clay. You know, sometimes we see this, what does that mean? It means not the old man I used to be. Because you know what? She wouldn't have wanted to marry the old man that I was. She wouldn't have wanted to. But I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Am I perfect? But, you know, there's still a new creature. And you know, the beautiful thing about it is, even when I mess up, he still loves me. She might take a few minutes. No. But he still loves me. You know, I could mess up, and I am still righteous. That's exciting. You mess up, and you get mad, lose your temper, or do something stupid, or even immoral. You can still say, Lord, forgive me. Throne of grace. Hallelujah, says the Hebrews. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need. You know, how come, like I said, how come we always think we got to stand at the gates of heaven and beg? It's not even scriptural. We don't stand at the gates of heaven and beg. We crawl up onto his lap. We are already seated at the right hand of God. We already are in the middle of heaven with him. Spiritually speaking, we're already there. Right? Like I say, one of the greatest revelations I had, which changed my perception, was let us cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. Realizing who he was as a dad changed my life. Changed my life. Realizing that I had a father who loved me. I had a father who wanted to look after me and protect me and provide for me. You know, it's exciting that we can come to a place of understanding who we are, whose we are, and what he's got for us and what he has for us. Amen. We got to realize that even like, especially this time of year, and I'm just going to look at a couple of things, you know. I said to Kathy, I grabbed my folder when I was leaving. We get halfway here, and I said to her, so you know what I forgot? She goes, what? I said, my Bible. I know, it's on my phone. But it's like, so I grabbed one out of the office, and it's like, it's the New Living Translation, which is okay, but it's like, it's, you know, I couldn't believe, I think I was thinking about my folder and ran out, and it's like, and I said, it's funny, when I was going out the door, I had a sense I was missing something. She's like, why didn't you listen to him? But anyway, so I'm just going to look at a couple of things. So that we've got those things with Joseph, but because of this time of year, like I said, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I saw there's some three modern-day Christmas blues we have to watch out for, as they say. You know, because I was looking at this, about that, because the big perception to me was that God showed up. First thing he says, 450 years to three people was, fear not, fear not. Fear not. You know, he said to Joshua, don't be discouraged. Don't be without courage, right? He always encourages us to step out and do what he's called us to do. He always encourages us to sit there and to be the best we that we can be, you know? But so I just want to look at this because this is the time of year where, like I said, it's Christmas is only 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away. Holy smokes. I heard that 70% or 80% of Americans do their Christmas shopping in the last 2 weeks before Christmas. 85% of Americans, because they're, you know, mostly studies are American, 85% of Americans go in debt at Christmas time. Go in debt at Christmas time. You know, it's like, holy smokes, because they wait 2 weeks. Because you do all your shopping in 2 weeks. You got 15 kids, that's a lot of shopping. We actually try and do some of ours throughout the year. But then, you know, you don't want to do that. You want to go spend money on Lego. Then all of a sudden, you know, in July, then October, it's like, I don't play with Lego anymore. It's like, but anyway. So sometimes we have, let's go look at this. These are just some things that like I said, I'm not a psychologist, but I saw these. And we'll just touch on them because I got a couple of answers as well. It's too much comparison shopping. I'm not talking about actual gifts. We compare our lives to unrealistic expectations of shiny, perfect Christmases that we see on TV or on media. We compare our holidays to those of others, right? You know, it's like sometimes we look at things, oh, we get to go here. You know, I was going through Facebook, I think it was this morning, I noticed, you know, Pastor Tim, Pastor Maria's brother, him and Alicia are in San Paulo, somewhere down south. And I was like, yeah, that was exciting. It's like, look at that. You know, part of me could go, we don't get to go there. You know, but the Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice. I think it's exciting. They get to go. I said to Kathy, I said, look where they are. I'm just was jealous that they didn't have any snow. He's on a beach. But sometimes we have to, we compare our holidays to those of others. You know, sometimes we compare our Christmases to those in the past. You know, that's why, you know, like people know I'm a kind of a music guy, but a lot of times people listen to music from the 80s or whatever genre you, or era you used to listen to when you're younger, and it brings back memories. It brings back memories. Because, you know, when I was listening to music in the 80s, I didn't have the responsibilities I have now. Sometimes life was a lot easier. When your kids are this big at home, they're a lot easier. It was my wife. They're a lot easier when they're this big, right? When your kids are getting into trouble because, you know, they leave their light bulbs on, it's a lot different than when they get into trouble now, you know, kind of thing when they're older. So it's like, so sometimes we have to realize we compare this Christmas to last Christmas. This Christmas, you know? And we got to realize we don't. Sometimes we compare our Christmas to the one before the breakups or the ones before the family death or the ones before we're grieving. You know, or when we were younger and simpler. You know, and the thing is, it's the same thing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Sometimes as we get older, it's like, you know, like I know with us, some of you know, my you know, we get to the point where, you know, I'm not going to say it, never mind. It's all good. But, you know, because you can look at things and like what's going to happen next Christmas. Because we start to compare what's going on this year. With, like I say, I remember thinking, oh, you know, the first time, empty nesters. You know, you get first Christmas, your kids are at home. And not just at home, but they're like out of town or somewhere. And it's like, man, it changes the dynamics of your thought process when your kids aren't home and you've had them for 30 years or 20 years or however long, right? It changes the dynamic of your process. But suddenly now when they show up and they got their kids with them, because even that can put on stress for some people. What am I going to do with 15 grandchildren, you know? Like, you know, it seems like a lot, but I know that, you know, if the oldest boy showed up, he's got four kids. We only have a three-bedroom house, and we only have one spare bed. Because the other one's an office, the other one's a study. So it's like, and we've done it. Pull off the cushions, put the air mattress down, away you go, you know. Don't get stressed out about it. Just enjoy, you know. Sometimes the stress is higher. The second one is because there's simply more things on the to-do list. More get-togethers, more gifts to buy, more meals to plan. Sometimes I know some people get stressed out preparing a meal. Some women just like, you know, some Italian women just, here's a snack. It's a 12-course meal. Here's a snack for you, you know. You know, I remember when I went, when your mom moved, and I was there, and I helped her put up some curtain rods and whatnot like that. She goes, would you like a coffee and a snack? I'm like, sure. She goes, oh, I made this today. And she's got some sort of finished thing, you know, and there's like four different things. I'm like, oh, you didn't have to do that. Oh, it's okay. I'm like, sweet. This is awesome. This is awesome. But there's also the stress of having to see family. You don't always want to see them. Because there's some you might not get along with, but it can also bring weeks of worry as part of the Christmas blues. We also got to realize that, you know, that these are times where you just got to cast your cares upon the Lord. Amen. Just say, you know what? Be grateful, even for the brother-in-law that shows up you don't like. Because you might not like him, but if he's treating your sister well, praise God. You know what I mean? Try and look at the things. The Bible says, do not dwell on the negative thoughts. Think about good things. What are the good things, right? The good things that your kids are showing up for Christmas and your family is still getting together, you know. And I know that the dynamics change and sometimes there's more stress, like I say, because there's so much more to do. It's like, oh. I remember one year, a couple years ago, because we were down south, so it was a long time ago, so we were coming up after Christmas. So we were getting together with the kids, and we were doing Christmas like on the 28th. That was awesome. We did all our shopping on Boxing Day. It was great. But don't let stress take you out, right? It's one of those Christmas blues. Like, don't, it's like, whatever. If you don't get the kid the right puzzle, get it for him for his birthday, or, you know, whatever. But don't dwell on those things. Also, the end of the year can bring anxiety, and it can lead to negative thinking. And as believers especially, we have an advantage over that because we get to take all our thoughts captive, amen? Because with New Year's Eve pending, sometimes people criticize themselves for what you did or didn't do. Because you always, after Christmas comes New Year's, and they always have a New Year's resolutions, right? Shouldn't be, it should be, what's our revelation? What's God revealed to you for next year? What's our New Year's revelation for next year, right? You know, it's like don't look back and say, oh, because you know, it's easy to do that. Oh, I didn't do this. I was going to do this. You know, it's like I said to Kathy, like this time for me has been like a practice retirement for a few months. And I was looking at a list going, oh, I didn't get these things done. Ah, there's always next Saturday. Right? Don't dwell on these things. Let it go. We start to focus also on what's missing in life sometimes amid the false cheer. Because you always have lots, like I say, it goes back to that picture of the television Christmases and the fake cheer at Christmas parties and stuff like that. It's like, you know, reality sits in. But the reality is that you are who God says you are, amen? Loneliness is also a very common trigger for Christmas blues. Because sometimes not having people around. Like I said, sometimes it could be your empty nester or the kids can't make it or things can't do and you got to be careful. So I got a couple things to pull through. Or how to pull through. If you can only manage one thing, go for self-care. Keep your routine going. Exercise is proven to help moods. God didn't make us to be couch potatoes, right? Keep your routine. And it's like, and I got into that this last little while. Like I said, it was to the point that I didn't have to work, so staying up late. She'd go, "You going to bed?" "No, I'm not tired." Because I can stay up late and get up early. But then I was staying up even later and getting up even later. And I was like, okay, I had to put a stop to that. And I started getting into a routine of getting up at 6 or 7 in the morning. Try and get back into that. Especially this time of year. There's going to be a thing where if you can't manage it because it gets... Then keep your routine. Manage one thing. To me, self-care, not just what where I saw this, but my self-care is, what's your devotion for today? What does the Bible say? Right? I don't care how busy it is. If it's got the season is Jesus, then keep him. You know, as believers, sometimes we can get so busy. Oh, we didn't do our Bible reading. We didn't do this. Right? You know, keep him as the center focus. Keep that routine. If you only do one thing, go for a walk and then pray while you're walking. Keep your prayer life solid in this time. Right? Keep it. Well, I know that when we used to, you know, travel, we took our devotions. We do our reading. We do our time together. Don't lose the one thing. Right? Jesus is the reason for the season. How many Christians are like, well, I haven't read my Bible in 3 weeks. I've been too busy. It's like, not you guys, of course, but, you know. And I got, think black and white in the sense of, don't allow yourself to get into negative thinking. When you have a negative thought, it says to force yourself to think the opposite. We have to take every thought obedient. Right? Take every thought obedient to Christ. And, you know, and I've heard the thing where, I want everybody to count to 20 out loud, slowly. Like one. Oh, sorry. Count in your mind. Sorry. Count in your mind, slowly. Now say your name out loud. Did you find that your counting stopped? We did this in class, and one of the students was like, no. I was like, okay, you're different. So, if the enemy is getting into your mind, speak out loud. The enemy is starting in your thoughts, in your mind, oh, by his stripes I'm healed. Anything, right? Philippians 4:19 says that he will give me, I can do all, no. Thank you. Right? But look at these thought processes. If you're starting to get into negative thing, if the thing is getting too well, when we first came up here, it was probably at a Christmas because we would go to my sister-in-law's She's out in Kakabaka, and her and my brother-in-law have this nice big house. So they used to do all the Christmas Eve things out there on Boxing Day. So we show up, it's me, Kathy, and my boy, because it's our first year up here, and she's got all these people. It's all family. My wife's got six siblings, and they're all Italian. So there's a lot of kids there, a lot of nephews, nieces. I'm an only child. I'm like, I sit there and said, I'm going downstairs, going for a walk. Not that they were like bickering me, it was just like, this is just too much for me. I had to do some self-care. Like, okay. And it was okay. I went downstairs, and my brother-in-law, who's also from Southern Ontario, I think it was the next time I was there, he was downstairs. So I don't bug him. He's watching sports, but I just sat there quietly. I just needed some time. And my son was the same way, because he also is an only child until he got married. So I'm like, just go, right? You know, take some time away. If your thought is doing this, I don't care if you're in a crowd, you're at the company Christmas party, go for a walk around the block. Sometimes you just need some, catch your thoughts. What's the word say? Right? If you're at the point that you're thinking, this is getting too overwhelming, or there's too much stress, just what does the word say, right? We always have to go back to what the word says. Amen? Right? Consider volunteering to stave off blues. It's proven to help depression, and it manages to turn many problems around because it's hard to focus on your problems if you're helping somebody less fortunate. And also, it helps loneliness. If you're alone, go volunteer because you'll meet some other people, right? There's lots of places to volunteer. There's here, then there's other places like, you know, Grace's Place and, you know, do drop in and stuff like that. But go volunteer because it gives you a chance to just to mingle and to pour out. I know Pastor says in the past, when he was doing things, they instilled into him to volunteer. Pour out. As believers, we know that sowing and reaping. We help others, somebody's going to come and help us. Sowing and reaping, amen? And don't just put up a tree, but put up boundaries. If you aren't alone, but you're feeling depressed because of family stress, this is important. One of the main reasons we fall into low mood swings is because of low self-esteem. And often what's behind low self-esteem is knowing that we let other people walk all over us. Sometimes you're somewhere and people will talk down to you. Because no family's perfect. Well, mine is. No family's perfect. But if you're allowing somebody to talk down to you, then what happens is you start to feel bad. You start to get some low self-esteem. I can't believe I let them do that. Now, on a balance, don't like react to everybody who speaks to you, right? Pick your fights, per se, especially when it comes to family. And don't try to please everybody. Sometimes it can be exhausting trying to please everybody, you know? I know we were getting together with some people a while back, and the one person, you know, is a Christian, but not the same thought as we are. And Kathy, we're in the car, and she's like, you behave yourself. What do you mean by that? She goes, you know what I mean. Because like, as I said, I have to be careful because I am a debater. And I'll be careful because sometimes I can lose sight of the love, right? Somebody says something. Now, if somebody says something totally stupid, it's contrary to Scripture. If they're not saved, my job is not to judge unbelievers. But if a believer, well, we're not to judge believers either. But if somebody says something to me, it's like, depending on what it is. So you got to find that balance, right? But if people are coming around you, don't try and please everybody. Just, you know, like you're making mashed potatoes, you forgot the pepper, no big deal, right? Sometimes we just got to let things slide and just relax, amen? Especially as believers. So I like the fact that, you know, we need to realize that and be like Joseph, because, you know, you can't be like Mary. Well, we are some way of carrying the presence of God with us. But Joseph was just a man that was, God gave him a word, and he went and did the word. He just received it. Zechariah says that his prayers were heard. He said, the angel said, your prayers are heard. And then he was mute. So don't be speaking unbelief, and don't be speaking contrary to the word, right? Don't be speaking those things. You know, it says that he was mute until John was born. And then they said, what are you going to name him? And he had to write it because they wanted to do a family name, and they wrote his name as John. And when he wrote it, he spoke it, he was released again. Because, you know, you can speak yourself out of your destiny. you can talk your own way out of your own destiny. Just be like Joseph. God will say to you, you know what? I've given you to look after something. I've given you a gift, and you're going to look after it. You're going to walk with it. You're going to go into a time, and you're going to be fruitful in what I've given you. And we just got to say, okay, Lord, you know. Like I say, this time of year, don't get stressed out about things, especially believers. We are to be different than the world, amen? You know, like I said, I love Christmas. I love the Christmas trees and the presents. Don't get me wrong. I love the traditional thought of Christmas and stuff like that. But our focus is on that, right? On the manger. Our focus is not on everything else. It's all nice. But our focus is, you know, before that. Like, what happened before the manger? God spoke, and God said, fear not. Then God spoke some words of encouragement and said, here's what you're going to do. And Joseph said, okay. Right? And Mary said, okay, be it unto me according to your word. So we got to realize that as believers for the next few weeks, it's going to be busy. That just, right? Just realize that we are believers. Stick with what the word says, right? Rejoice always. I say to you again, rejoice. So when things start to get stressed out, remember, look at the promises of God. Look what it says. It says that I am blessed going in. We are blessed going out. I am the head and not the tail. I am above but not beneath. I shall be the lender and not the borrower, right? We got to realize that when the Bible says that who we are, we have to, do you believe what the word says about you, right? Do you believe it? I believe it. That I am above and not beneath. I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. When I walk into work, I am blessed going in. When I leave work, I am blessed going out. Right? I believe that. Amen. I believe that. Right? Don't walk around for the 6 days. Walk around the seventh day like Jericho and give a shout. Right? The walls didn't fall because they shouted. Or they didn't shout because the walls fell. The walls fell because they shouted. We have a voice that we need to activate what the Word of God says in our lives. Only we can step out and do it. I was going to close with Psalm 103. Isn't that funny? Anybody ever grab somebody else's Bible and you can't find something? But they're all laid out, Genesis, Exodus, right? They're all laid out the same. But it's like, this is not the same. It's in the middle. Psalm 103:20 says, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him to do his will. Yes. Okay, I'm going to. Psalm 103. So I'm going to look at King James for a second. Because this one says, listening for each of his commands. I'm just going to go to Psalm 103. Yes. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commands, hearkening unto the voice of his word. I love that. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. Not hearkening unto his voice. Not his voice, but hearkening unto the voice of his word. Who gives his voice? Who gives his word voice now? You do. Angels will hearken when you speak. You are the voice of his word now. You are the ones that speak it out. Amen? Jesus says, you shall have what you say. Right? I don't get what Luke says. I get what I say. Right. That's right. I get what I say. You get what you say. Amen? So this time of year, just remember, when you're going out, just remember that you are a blessing wherever you go. You go to that family function, you are the blessing of God, right? Though God walks with you. The blessing walks with you, amen? When you go to a family function and it starts to get a little bit sporadic for some things, just thank you, Lord. You give me calm and serenity. Thank you, Lord, that by your, you know, I'm going to say by your stripes, I love your healing scriptures. But you got to realize that, okay, I cast my care upon you. Philippians, you take my cares. You take every thought captive. You do it. Amen? So we got to realize, don't get stressed out for the season. Just enjoy the fact that this is the beginning, getting ready for Easter. Right? Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's so exciting. So exciting. Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. And the Word dwelt among us. That's one of the most exciting scripts. I don't fully understand it, but I receive it, right? You know, and it's a seed that's placed in you.
I love it because if you look at Hebrews, it talks about Sarah. It says that Sarah received seed to conceive. She's a woman, but she was able to bring forth seed, which is the word. She received the word that God spoke, and she was able to conceive. So God wants to place something in each and every one of us, amen? He wants to put a seed of a word in you so that for the world, that you can touch the world, amen? You can stand up. Hallelujah. And don't forget, on your way out, get one of those books if you haven't got one. If you have got one, take one anyway and give it to somebody else. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come here, Lord, and we can receive a seed. We can receive a word from you, Father, that, Lord, that we can allow it and we can look after it and we can let it germinate within inside us, Father, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that everything that we have is already within us and that we can go forth from here, Lord, expecting that seed to bring forth fruit in our lives, that as we walk, as we go forth, that the blessing, your blessing is within us. We just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that this city can be changed because of us. This city can be changed because we are reconcilers, that we can reconcile men back to you, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that we can learn also, Lord, how to lay our problems upon you, how to cast our cares upon you, Lord, and to worry not. And we just thank you, Lord, that there's no fear this time. This season is a busy season, but that we go forth, Lord, stress-free, worry-free, knowing that you've got us, knowing that you've looked after us, that you've given us a provision, that you've given us a direction of providence, and that you've given us protection. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can bring you glory, that we can bring you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.